And Tony, there's a question here for you from George, who says, if certain plants can make things that make other plants not grow near them, does this mean you should be careful how you plant your garden?
Well, you certainly wouldn't want to try to grow something underneath, say, a pine tree. I don't know if you've seen, the earth is very bare under those because a lot of material gets dumped down from the leaves, fall underneath them. You can't grow much under a walnut tree either.
That's not just because they're consuming all the water from the soil, so they just consume light and water and nothing can get a sort of stake its claim.
There are compounds which are like resins which fall down onto the earth around them, and they are toxic to developing plants. So you'd have to make sure that the plants you wanted to grow were away from something that was trying to defend its space, for sure.
And what about the plants themselves? Because obviously they're going to set seed, so when their own seedlings try and grow, won't they be killed off by the factors coming out of the trees then?
I really don't know. In those specific examples, I can't tell you, I'm afraid.
So go back to the sort of garden example. Certain combinations of plants, do they behave differently when you put certain plant combinations together?
Well, in the garden, I'm not that much of an expert because obviously we're working with arable crops. Arable crops do try and protect their space. They do produce materials in the soil to try and defend themselves. One example is wheat, which is what we particularly work on at Rothamsted. And wheat does respond by producing chemicals in the soil which are generally toxic both to plants and to the insects that are trying to colonise them. And something that we're trying to work on is being able to switch this response on or make the plant ready to respond to protect itself when there's no threat actually available. For instance, if you're in a field and you want, you know that there's some sort of insect pest coming, if you can alert those plants with a particular signal which will start that process, then you can control how the plant responds and make it ready to fight back against the insect pests.
Without, of course, having to spray chemicals on the crop, which
These signals are, of course, chemicals, but because they're used in the natural ecology of these plants anyway, they surround us in the atmosphere. In fact, some of these chemicals are part of our diet. We're exposed to them the whole time, but they're produced in very small quantities. They're in the natural system anyway, so you wouldn't even know if it came from a particular person trying to introduce that into your field or whether they were there anyway.
How closely related do two plants have to be not to produce these aggressive signals? So if you had two different forms of wheat, would they get along okay?
I really don't know, but I suppose the wheat plant must be pretty good at detoxifying those compounds if it's producing them themselves. I know some of the wheat compounds, they can be glycosylated. That means a glucose molecule or sugar molecule is tacked onto them, and that in that form, the plant's quite happy to store them. It's not toxic to the plant at all. A plant's not going to produce something that commits suicide for itself, no.
Thanks, Tony. Well, that's it for this week. Next time, we're going to be finding out why we're quite literally passengers in our own bodies. There are 50 times more bacteria living on us and in us than there are actually cells in our bodies. But what do these bacterial freeloaders actually do, and why are we healthier with them than without them? In fact, are we living such clean lives now that this is making us prone to disease, including allergies? Is that why allergic problems are an all-time high? What are your thoughts on that? Join us next week to find out. Send me your questions, chris@thenakedscientist.com. Thank you very much to our guests this week, James Logan, Tony Hooper and Tim Reggett, and to our wonderful production team, Dave Ansell, Mira Sinthalingam, Ben Valster, Petra Minch and Diana O'Carroll. Have a great week. See you next time. Goodbye.
The Naked Scientists are sponsored by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientists.com.